Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday morning, April 30th.
Rent's due tomorrow.
Rent's due friggin' tomorrow. And you forgot to do the countdown last week.
I know.
Yeah.
Wasn't on the top of my mind.
She counts down to the rent because she looks so forward to it.
Yeah.
What the hell, right?
Everybody does.
Yeah.
It's like the best part of the month.
It is. It's and everybody gets it, right? That time of the month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today, we're also on Facebook Live, as we always are when we have special guests here. You can go to LA Talk Radio's page right on Facebook. You'll see us there, and you can check us out, and it's awesome. And we have two great guests in the studio. They seem to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I only got a couple minutes to talk to them before, but I'm sure we're going to have a blast.
Yeah, we always do.
But we're just going to wrap up the long weekend we had. If you noticed, we weren't here Friday and Monday.
Yesterday, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's because I went up north outside of San Francisco, visited my friends.
Yeah.
A lot of funny adventures and stuff, mainly with involving women like my friends. He's like dating online, right? So
right.
Finds online dates. So we all went with his twin, and I went to meet this woman, right? Disaster. A fucking disaster.
Well, first of all, it's going to be a disaster when he shows up with two of his boys.
No, but we went to lunch. He'd already met him before. He told her,
I want you to meet
my brother and my friend.
Oh, okay.
So she said, okay.
All right.
So we go there. The woman doesn't shut up for 1 second. You can't get a word in edgewise, I swear to you.
Maybe she was nervous.
But all she did is talk about herself, too. Even when he managed to put in a word, she turned it and make it about her.
Give an example. So I know you're not being dramatic.
No, like, for example, if I talked about my kids or something, she'd turn around and talk about her kids. You know, we talk about this thing, she talks about that thing. No, I'm telling you, you had to be there.
That's normal.
We looked at each other, okay? If all three of us looked at each other and went, what the fuck's going on? You know, I don't know, man.
That sounds pretty normal.
It's not normal. Maybe to you.
If somebody was talking
about...
Do you
talk all the time?
Yes, I do.
Okay, but still, you have a conversation. She had a monologue. You know, she only talked.
But, like, if you're talking about your kids, wouldn't you think it's normal that she also talked about her kids?
No, because she'd already talked about them three times before that.
Okay. So, like, basically, she just wanted it to be the center of attention.
Yeah, you know. And she didn't look great either, if I do say so myself.
Oh,
hey, you gotta be honest. What the fuck? What? You want me to look at an ugly woman and say she's pretty?
Oh my god.
You see,
but he obviously thought she was attractive because this is his second or third date, right?
No, he didn't. He knew what he's getting into. He just needed a confirmation.
Oh my god, this is awful.
but that's life, okay? Yeah, so you wanna tell me you never think a guy's not attractive?
That I go out with?
No, that you see on the street or something.
I mean, yeah, I've definitely seen people that are not attractive, but I'll never be like, oh, he's ugly.
Well, not to his face.
Not to his face or like out loud at all, period.
Okay, well, that's you.
Unless
okay.
I hate them. Then I'm like, oh my God, that motherfucker's so ugly.
You see, well, I didn't hate her, but I was irritated with her. She starts saying, yeah, I'm a little socialist. I'm a little communist. I'm like, do you know that 100 million people died under communism? She goes back to something else, you know?
So was that like, the point where you started hating her, or was it before that?
I didn't hate her at all. She told him afterwards, I think Sam hated me. But I didn't hate her. I just like wanted her to explain herself. That's all. She made some, you know, extreme remarks.
Okay, but let me just, from my standpoint.
Okay.
Your twin friend, whichever one he is, he obviously had a little thing for her if he's saying, hey, I want you to meet my boys. So if he's acting like he does it now, it's because y'all shitted on her.
No.
And he's trying to be cool.
No, I'm trying to tell you that before we went to that lunch, he'd already said, I don't think she's working
out. So he just wanted to smash and pass.
And he's got two other women he's dealing with. So he has to decide.
So he's a hoe.
No, he's trying to decide. He hasn't had sex in 5 years.
Oh, my God. Poor thing.
No, I'm I don't think so. But it's been a long time.
That's why he's looking at what you call quote-unquote ugly girls. He's desperate.
He's desperate for anything, man. Yes. That's what I'm telling you. Yeah. But if I told you some of the advice they gave me, you'd be like, why am I fucking taking advice?
So my question is, why did you come home a day early?
I kind of wanted to come back because I had things to do. Really, on Monday, my brother has his girlfriend visiting from out of town, and this is the first time I would have met her. And if we did it on Monday,
which brother?
Brother? Did I say brother?
Yeah.
I meant my son. I'm
sorry. I was like, which brother? I thought you.
What the fuck, man?
I was like, okay, well, is your brother cheating? Because the last I remember, he was married.
Yeah.
I hope you're talking about your son.
No, I think the edible is already working. Yeah. That's the fucking problem. My mind is not even here. But there were a lot of stories. We'll tell them in the near future, in the coming shows. I'll tell you some things that happened. But it's pretty funny. You know, we had a blast. We still are laughing at some of the things that happened. So it's mm-hmm. cool, you know.
That's good.
We went to nightclubs. And, I have a lot of stories. Right. You know, so it was really interesting.
Yeah, it's funny that you'll go out in San Francisco, but you won't go out here.
Yeah, well, because I had someone to go with, you know.
You had,
they're
you got,
drinkers.
What's, I'm that, not, what's that guy that's here that plays with the drums? Little musical.
Elon.
Yeah, go out with
him. We're not really drinkers, you know. These friends of mine are really drinkers.
Yeah.
So we went there. Everybody was drunk except me. That's why at a certain point I didn't have fun anymore, you know. And I'm like, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
So he's never been married?
No.
Damn. Can My you friend, imagine being no. one of the one half of the twins that
Yeah,
never does he have kids married. Too or no?
No kids.
So no kids, no married, and your twin is married and has kids.
No, I mean, but that's a whole thing about him needing to get his own life too, you know?
Yeah.
So, but that's for another show. All right, let's bring in our guests right now. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about, but we have cool guests. I don't want to keep them waiting any longer because people are going to wonder what's all that laughter in the background. Mm-hmm. So we might as well bring him to the foreground.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, we're joined by Mr. Johnny Alonzo and Tracy Farrow. Away, right?
Hello,
yes. Guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you, Danny.
Welcome to the show. See, they're ready to party already. You know, that's my kind of guest here.
Yeah, my edible also kicked in.
Good. Then we're all in the same.
Not me.
Not you.
No. No.
Well, you get a natural high. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm on a natural coffee high.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, so Johnny and Tracy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You guys are you LA natives or?
I am. Tracy's the
really?
LA
so you were born here?
I was actually born at St. Joe's in Burbank, and then I was raised over in Hollywood when it was really, really not great.
Really?
It's still not great.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
still not great.
Not much has changed.
And you, Johnny, you live here now, but you said you moved from somewhere else?
Yeah, from Queens, New York.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Don't hold it against me.
Yeah.
I love New Yorkers.
Do you?
Yeah. New awesome. York's
Why
awesome.
Why would we hold
but
it
I
against
you?
You
it's New York. It's one or the other out here. It's one or the other. Like, they either love you or really hate you.
Yeah.
I think New Yorkers hate Angelenos more than people in LA hate New York. You know?
That because might be true, I think
so. I think New York feels they're cooler than us. You
because
know?
New Yorkers so. Are pretty much cooler.
Depends who you talk
it's
about.
It's just part of the hard wire.
Yeah. I just feel like New Yorkers are more like, you know, genuine.
Maybe
straightforward.
They are, yeah.
Yeah. Like blunt.
A little more direct.
Straight to the point. Yeah.
That's why. They tell us they hate us straight to our faces, you know?
Yeah, they say Californians do the sandwich, which is when you say something nice, then you're like, and this fucking sucked. And then you're like, but this was good.
Right. Yeah.
You guys don't have that.
That's right.
No carbs.
So, well, this is cool. At what point did you move to New York? How long ago?
Back and forth, man. I've been doing this whole Los Angeles circuit thing for almost 9 years now.
Mm. Oh, really? So you live in both places, would you say?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but basically anchored here now.
Yeah.
It's how Tracy and I met literally almost 10 years ago for our first film, Coffin. We'll get into that later, but yeah, since then.
I feel like the vibe of that movie would be called Coffin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you should hear about their new movie or The Haunted, The Riddle House.
Oh. Yeah. Well, he doesn't send me any of the emails, so I never get to watch trailers, nothing before.
Sam, really? Because I'll send it over to you. We'll send it to you, Dan.
I think I sent it to you, didn't even look at it, did you?
Sam, no, you didn't email it.
Okay. I'm going to start mailing it.
Anything that has to do with movies, anything other than movies, don't bother.
Yeah. You see, that's what I'm saying. I mean, what? I have to start sifting through it now?
I mean, if it says movie, just say, oh, she'll like this.
Okay, nothing else, right?
Nothing else.
Okay.
Yeah, Riddle House is another haunted film. Basically, because we've known each other almost a decade, we always wanted to work together and do a film together.
Right.
And it took us, like, almost 10 years to make
to
it happen.
To find the right script.
And now we have two. So it's like the reins went.
But that's a lot of persistence. I mean, 10 years, you know, trying to do something.
So in the first movie, Coffin, were you guys acting in it or you were producing it?
I was just acting in it.
Yeah.
And then Coffin 2 spawned in. And then I'm kind of like the Freddy Krueger of the franchise.
Oh, shit, okay.
Yeah. And in Coffin 2, I was also tricked one of the lead, or the lead character.
Right.
Which turned me into also a producer on the film.
Right.
Now, of course, Tracy and I are like now both producers on Coffin 3.
Right.
I was like a huge fan of the movie, so I'd go to the screenings.
I feel
the
like
premiere.
I've heard of it before. Yeah. I'm actually going to just Google, because I'm a movie buff and I watch horror films all the time.
Yeah,
so
man.
I'm like, let me see if I've watched this one.
It's Kevin Sorbo from Hercules, who plays Hercules. He's also the lead in Coffin.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think we have a picture of him outside here.
He's in your lobby.
Yeah, he's been to the station. I remember him.
He's a super cool guy.
Yeah. So you guys made the movie with him?
Yeah, we made the movie with him. Shot it all around Studio City, Burbank, Glendale, West Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah.
And what was that film about? I mean, Coffin, okay.
Okay, so there's two popping up. There's one in 2008 and one in 2011.
That's right. That's Coffin and Coffin 2, right?
Because we're doing the third one
now.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what we'll be talking about.
I said to the director, I told him, Kip, he's a really great guy. Kip Trouble, it's a great name. Yeah. I said, you know, these Coffin films, Coffin 2 and Coffin 1, are great, but why don't you make the third one the best? Because in horror franchises, they never make the third
historically,
one. And usually the third one
they drop. Yeah, it's like Friday the 13th, 3 in 3D. Why?
Yeah.
So I was like, what if Trick had a counterpart, like a reverse Harley Quinn? Like, what if we named her Trixie?
And I was like, wait a minute.
Sound like a script. So the director started writing it, and now here we go.
That's crazy.
It's pretty dope. And we just shot a concept trailer, last week?
Yeah, last week.
Yeah, and it looks really awesome.
Really?
So you guys aren't even done filming it yet?
No, we just did the concept trailer, which is basically to...
Like, Danny, what role do you want?
You want in?
Yeah.
You want in?
I actually do.
Perfect.
What do you want to play, girl?
Danny the actor.
Someone who dies pretty quickly.
How do you want to die?
A very epic death. But I don't want to go first because black people usually go first.
Let me go third or fourth.
Or maybe like the only survivor you think I died and then I'm like surviving.
Yeah. We're producers. We can make that happen.
Exactly. You direct it whatever you want.
No, but this concept trailer is basically to lock us in with our distribution company who we're already talking to.
So a concept trailer is basically to get like funding?
Well, it's like we already have the funding kind of in place.
Right.
This is just to like really spotlight our director and his sizzle reel and what he can do for the film.
Right.
We've learned this in the past. I mean, Tracy and I have been like, you know, throwing out, pitching scripts left and right.
Right.
We found this out a long time ago. You might send a script out. 6 months later, you get a rejection letter. But in that 6 months, they didn't really even read it.
Yeah.
And half of them can't even read English. You think about this. The guys that really have the money.
Uh-huh.
So you're screwed. You're fucking just waiting for them. You're like waiting. You finally get a rejection letter. You got to move on.
Wow.
The idea was this for Riddle House.
And you sit there for all this time hoping to get an answer from them or something.
Right. Right. And meanwhile, you're just sitting on your ass and they're not even looking at it.
Yeah.
So the idea was to shoot a concept trailer, you know, for a good amount of money, for
they
a minute and a half. And it has to look like the film was already shot.
Mm. Yeah.
So when you watch The Riddle House, the link that he didn't send you,
you will see
it looks like the movie has already been shot.
And
Coffin 3 is the same way. Yeah, we had an amazing cast.
Yeah.
You know, Tracy and I in the forefront spearheading this entire thing. You're going to love it. I'm telling you.
Yeah, yeah.
So
now who wrote it? Did you write it?
No.
You guys?
The director, Kip Trouble.
Oh, okay.
What's up, Kip? I know you're watching, Kip.
You love that name.
Kip Trouble.
He's the baddest, man. He wrote the first and second one along with his partner.
So what made you guys decide to make this film? Did you see the script before? Did you guys decide this is what we want to do? Let's get a writer.
No, man. Go ahead.
For
Coffin 3, it was literally like I told the director, hey, wouldn't it be funny if you made this the best coffin yet? And what if Trick had a counterpart? And he was like, what if she's female? I was like, yeah, what if her name's Trixie? That's how we got that ball.
Are you Trixie?
Yeah, so I'm playing Trixie.
Oh.
So it's going to be like kind of reverse Harley Quinn.
So I'm assuming you two are like the psychopaths.
Yeah.
In life and on screen. Yes. Yes.
I'm the sane one.
No, don't listen to her. Do not listen to her. She's full of shit.
That's funny. I'm going to have to go home and watch this. Where can I? Is Coffin on Netflix?
It's on everything. Every platform. Take a look at it.
Netflix, yeah. Amazon Prime.
Redbox.
The first and the second.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and three is going to be the
Netflix
baddest.
Has a long, long, long horror. Yeah. Category. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'd be just watching the most random shit on there.
Yeah. I mean, I know, right?
We'll
be
she talking... likes this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bad. It's awesome. I mean, we'll be talking more about it later, but we have a slew of films that are actually on Netflix and on Amazon Prime. Right, we're fans of each other's work.
Right.
If you can't
That's
tell.
Why we wanted to work together and do something like on-screen duo.
Right.
Because we both just have always been a fan of each other, right? Kinda, you know,
right.
So we're like, let's just work together. We've been friends. Let's just like
let's just do this, man.
Yeah. Fucking do this.
One on the board.
One on the board. It's all one
on the board.
Yeah, two on the board now. It's two on the board. So.
So Riddle House is the one you made the concept trailer for.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, not Coffin 3.
No, but we just shot the concept trailer for Coffin 3. Yeah. So that's going to be out hopefully in the
so
next.
So you got
week.
Both of them.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And I got to tell you, I saw the one for the Riddle House, and there is something.
Okay. Well, yeah. I didn't.
I'll send you the link. Freak this, that man. One, the
house is, I'll give you my haunted. Email. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need it at this moment.
No. So in Riddle House, that one, the house is like a character. Like the house itself is like is the one that's, I don't want to give too much away. But
haunted.
Yeah. Kind of trying to hurt people, if you know what I mean.
Right. Is it one of those movies where like a new family moves in and then after a week they're like, wait a second.
It's a makeshift family. I'm just TV Guide version.
They're rock and rollers.
Rock and rollers. Right. This is the cool thing about it. This film is going to be kind of like a... Let's just call it like a poltergeist kind of film with the edge of Rob Zombie's rock and roll.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Rob Zombie's movies are really fucked up.
Oh, they're fucked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'd be watching them and I'm like, I wonder if he's killed people. It's just like it's to the point where like you have to have done maybe one or two of these.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's
going to
be this blood. I mean, we're not going to have that blood and gore. This is more psychological horror.
Yeah, see, I like that better than the blood and gore because sometimes it gets a little much.
Yeah.
a little bit here and there, but like. It's like slow motion axe to the neck, but it's like you're watching like all the vertebrae.
Yeah, but the scary part is what's going on in your head,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. When you're watching this. It's what you don't see. It's what you don't see. It's that second before that.
So you play this rocker, right?
Right, I do.
No wonder you look like a rocker.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm actually a Jesuit priest, if you collecting alms for the poor.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you about your look. Are you a rocker?
I am a musician. I am.
Are you?
Yes, I started out with music. Before I actually got into
acting. And then you were like, fuck this, let me act.
Well, no, you know, when I went to college, when I went to NYU, I just decided, you know what, there's a lot of acting on stage when you play.
Right.
Yeah.
Why don't I hone my skills? And I found out it was a hell of a lot of work to be an actor.
Right, yeah.
It's not
easy. Yeah. Right,
you know, because when you're acting on stage, just like, say, musically, Tracy's also a musician and a great singer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're improvising, you're doing your own thing, it's spontaneous. Acting is very direct. You know, you had to be directed. Of course, there's that moment where you can do things on your own.
Right.
But I am a musician. I'm a singer, guitarist, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome. And you got the look and everything and the attitude. But I don't mean the bad attitude.
No, that's cool, man.
No.
You're trash.
Yeah, trash hotel rooms, trash studios. Yeah.
Actually, you seem to me from the beginning like a very nice person. I mean, you're very like personable and everything.
I'm an asshole.
How dare
you say that?
So this is just a facade.
Don't ruin his rep, okay? His friends are listening.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got people to scare.
Exactly. I'm ruining your reputation, right?
Yeah, it's all good, man.
Very cool. So now, so the Riddle House has not been shot yet either, right?
Not in full form, no. But so basically we're getting like a bunch of people to come in on it with us, like people that you guys might know from like the rock world. So one of them will play like my dad, the manager in the film. Yeah. I don't want to throw out names. I don't know if I should do that yet. Yeah. But we're still talking to some big names right now.
Yeah. Right. Like,
are there going to be any females, or is it just going to be a bunch of dudes?
No, this thing is full-fledged. Yeah.
Okay, I was like, have it be a bunch of meatheads.
No.
And my character goes in with him, because he's basically, his character is kind of going to this house for, like, rehab. Like, you know, he's just not doing so well. And my dad is his manager, so he's like, I can't do this, you watch out for him. Take your kid. You guys have fun.
Oh, a kid.
Yeah, I have a kid in the film. And I'm like,
I have
like,
a dog. I have a dog.
Yeah.
And a dog hopefully makes it to the edge.
Which becomes a makeshift family. See what I'm saying? That's the thing that Well, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, no. So my daughter and then now him are going to be hanging out. And I'm like, great, you know, I've got to watch out for this guy. And then right. All these scary things start happening. So unlike other horror films where it's like the girl's like, oh, I see a ghost. I'm so scared. Hold me. Like in this one, he's the one seeing all the stuff. And I'm like not believing him. I'm like, okay, he's detoxing. Something's going on. Like,
right. Oh, shit. Yeah. Like it's not believable. Like he hasn't had. Oh, right. That sucks.
And then I start to see it too. And I'm like, oh, God. Yeah. I'm like, I can't tell him.
It's a great script. I mean, look, horror movies have been done a million times. A million vampire, a million whatever films,
right?
It's the execution. The execution of this is completely different.
That's true. You know, I mean, it sounds like it's. I mean, just from what I've seen so far, it's very impressive. You know, and so is this. But you started obviously making films like over 10 years ago,
years ago,
right? Yeah, so how did you guys get started there? I mean, you make your first film. You know, you hadn't done it before. What's it like?
Say the first one's the hardest.
Anything exactly.
So my second film was Hellraiser.
Oh my God! Then wait a second. I've seen every Hellraiser.
So I did I did Revelations. Hellraiser Revelations.
Wait.
The newest one they did. Honestly, just keep the name.
I just watched one on Netflix literally 2 days ago. I wonder which one it was. Yeah, not even kidding. I was like, I've already seen all of these. Let me watch it again.
It's one of my favorite franchises.
And it's like one of those. It is, but it's like one of those movies where you rewatch it and you're like, how was I scared of this when I was 18?
Yeah, when I was 8. Yeah.
Because you were petrified. Yeah. Now it's like, this is so. And like all the scenes, like the dead. When they're. They don't even look like human beings. It looks like the plastic dolls that are getting like melted and stuff. I'm like, it doesn't even look like a human being.
But as a kid, you're like, oh my God, it's so real.
But same with Pet Sematary, because I rewatched that again because they have the new one.
Yeah, what do you think of the remake, the reboot?
I haven't seen it.
It's okay.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'm not going to bust its balls, but yeah, it's okay. I like the first one more.
I'm more excited to see Chucky, the Chucky remake.
Yeah.
Kidding?
Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah.
I'm hoping the kid is a little badass, though. He seems like he might be coming through kicking.
He might.
Yeah.
He needs someone to fight him.
He's from New York.
Yeah, there you go. They all are.
That's who always used to scare me, though, was Pinhead was, to me, the scariest villain, because there's a scene where he takes the needle off his head and the worm comes out.
Oh, my God.
It gave me nightmares, like, forever. I was like, oh, my God, people.
So you were in Hellraiser what?
The Revelations.
I'm gonna watch that as well.
So that was, please, like, my second film I ever did. And it's hard when you get them, because then you get sagged.
Did you die early, or did you make it to the end?
I'm the only one that doesn't die.
Did you have a boyfriend in it, and he died, like, after you guys had sex or something?
He's my... it's so awkward. It's so bad to say. It's my brother in the film. And he, like, makes out
with
me.
In the film.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no one knows it's
my real
brother.
It's not my real brother in real life. Yeah, I don't actually have a brother. But in the film, the character is my character's brother.
Right.
And they make out. So it was pretty gross.
I've definitely seen it.
Yeah, sure. I know you've seen it.
Because I was like, when I walked in, I'm like, you do look familiar.
Yeah.
Because I'm a horror film junkie. I just don't know.
I'm glad you are, girl.
Yeah.
And now you're going to be in
horror film. How old were you in the film with your brother? Your age in the film. When you were, like, making out with your brother.
Oh, I'm always, like, token college kid. So that I was probably, like, 18. Yeah.
Wow. So, okay. So what I'm saying is people probably do this all the time. We don't even know about it.
No, it's not brother, her real brother. She hurt
I know. Oh, I know. Okay. But what I'm saying in real life, because it's hard to think about that. But I've thought, you know, do brothers and sisters sometimes get it on, you know? I don't know. But that's probably why they put. I would never know. I don't have sisters, so I wouldn't know.
Well, maybe they're lucky that you don't.
Exactly. What a perv.
Sam, you're all right. Sam the perv.
Well, Sam don't feel bad. There's a whole category on Pornhub for brothers and sisters.
Really?
Yeah, it's like family problems or something.
But don't they usually make it like stepbrothers, stepsisters?
Yeah, stepmom, stepdad.
Because I think incest is illegal.
Well, if you think about Clueless, like, she ends up with her stepbrother.
She does.
That's true. Nobody talks about that.
No.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Like, they have a
problem. Everyone's cool with it. Yeah. Like, the only one that called her out was Ty. Like, she was like, Ty, you're being so rude. And it's like, well, kind of has a point, though.
Although there's no blood related, it is still kind of weird.
Yeah.
We're judging you.
But yeah, so then anyway, I end up getting cast in a few more films. So I played Julia Louis-Dreyfus's daughter, Elaine from Seinfeld, in Enough Said. And that was James Gandolfini's last film right before he died.
Really?
Yeah. So. Oh. Wow. I got to know him pretty well, you know.
And how did you land those parts? Did you have anybody representing
you? She auditioned
you?
And she killed it.
Tom Hanks, actually, when I worked with him, he sat me down and he asked me, do you know what you have that nobody else has? It's one word. And I said, well,
personality.
He said talent.
Talent.
Oh, talent. Yeah, that's even better.
I was like, oh, wow. Like, yeah, when Tom Hanks says something like that to you, it's like really
that's very
special.
Nice.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
So when did you know that you guys could act? Were you like just... you know, walking around as a kid. Like,
I mean, you started separately as actors, right? Yeah.
Of course. Before I was on the East Coast.
I started acting when I was like almost 20, but I knew I always wanted to do it. And being born and raised in LA, I didn't do any nepotism. I don't have any connections. I don't know anyone. I actually had to just freaking do it.
Yeah, work hard. Good for you. Yeah. But you can show, I mean, you show that it's possible, you know? There's many people, they sit home, they don't go to auditions, they expect it to come to them, and it doesn't happen, you know?
That was like me for 2 years.
Let me tell you, man.
That's what I thought for 2 years.
I was on Dawson's Creek as a kid.
Oh my God, I love Dawson's Creek.
28 times I had to audition for that fucking show.
Really?
28 times, just perseverance. She only has to audition once because she's so hot and so great.
Oh, okay.
My talent must really suck. 28 times for Dawson's Creek.
What role did you play on Dawson's Creek?
Jimmy Franco. I was on the last season. I was one of the junior stockbrokers next to Katie Holmes and Josh Jackson.
Oh my God.
So that's from there, cool. That spawned two episodes turned into six.
This is a big deal.
It's a big deal because that means the writers like you.
Yeah.
Right.
And then from there, I went on to One Tree Hill. I was Joey D.
Okay. Well,
the quintessential band member, band guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Tracy and I met.
One Tree Hill was a big deal.
It was a big
deal. Yeah. That was a big show.
It was a huge jump for me, man. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm more TV. She was more film at this
time.
Right. Prior to all that, my first gig was actually All My Children. I was Susan Lucci's nephew for 64 episodes.
All My Children.
Really?
But like as Tracy was saying, it's all about auditioning. We don't have anybody in the industry.
Yeah.
We have each other now, so you know. We're kicking ass doing these things.
Right.
But prior to that, no. We go to the calls. We have agents. You upgrade from this one agent.
Boutique agent to a better one. Yeah.
Right. We both have great representation now. But we've also found out that, you know, being an actor is fantastic. But if you can also produce...
Right.
You really own your destiny, man. You really do.
And I feel like sometimes...
Because then you're the boss, right?
You're the boss. Well, yes, you're one of the bosses.
Yeah. Right.
If there are three of them, you're one third of it.
Right. Yes. Which is still a big deal.
Fuck yeah.
And I feel like sometimes this is just what I get at, because I've done like 11 reality shows, but sometimes when you're talent on those shows, you start like watching the producers and stuff, and you're like... I feel like I could just jump in there and like take over your job and do it better than you. So you start like watching and learning.
Yep.
And then one day it's just like, I feel like that's what Ben Affleck did. He just said, fuck this. Let me start doing my own shit.
No, but you know what? No, not to laugh, but you're absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, Tracy said this to me just, 3 years ago. I don't want to be a producer.
I was like, I don't know if I could do it.
Yeah. And I was like, listen, girl, just follow my lead. I said, I'm learning as I go. She's a phenomenal producer.
So what is the difference between a producer and a director? Like, what is the director's job?
The producer has to go get the ice. And get the boring stuff.
Park the car because you're in the red zone.
Yeah.
No, producers basically, depending on which producer, if you're exec producer, it basically means you're bringing the money.
Oh. You know,
producing like us, it's everything else. It's finding the people that have the money. It's also finding the right casting.
Right,
like, she's worked with so many great actors, directors, etc. So have I. And we put our cards on the table and map it out and say, this is what we want. Bingo.
Right.
So, no, that's kind of the producer's role. I mean, also trying to find locations. Like the last shoot we had, Tracy and I were scrambling with Kip and everybody else. But it's worth it, man. I mean, once you get through it and once the money gets locked and loaded, and you know you've got X amount with a POF, proof of funds in the LLC, dude. All that headache and all that hell, it's out the door, and now you're acting.
Right.
Yeah, we're very excited about it.
Yeah, so the producer more is the business side of things, and the director is the artist.
He's
the
one that's like, no cut, start over.
You suck, do it again.
Exactly.
You got three more times before we replace you.
Right.
I never hear that. I don't know what that is.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I hear. Yeah, I know for a fact, look, I know my limitations. She's a phenomenal writer. I'm the worst writer in the world. I'm not a director by any stretch either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. You could probably direct because you're
I don't think I'd want. It's like when you're wearing too many hats. I think you just should wear the hat that looks best on you sometimes.
Exactly.
It's true, right? Yeah.
Or maybe when you're done with the acting aspect of it all, you can be like, all right, now maybe I'll direct.
Then that would be cool, because I'm very proud of, you know, female directors when they're nominated for Oscars, winning Oscars, doing things like that. I'm like, I think it's a win for all women, because there are a lot of male directors, but it's like, you know, we're living in a world now where it's really acceptable and it's really cool. So if one day in the future that happens, maybe I wouldn't mind just for being a role model or something.
Right.
You know,
I'll make you do that.
Yeah.
It's like having a cool, like, girl drummer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so badass.
And everyone's like, look at that badass bitch on stage.
Exactly. They're the hottest ones out there.
Yeah. Or like a guitarist or something.
Yeah, you know, look at that axe, man. But that is the difference.
Yeah.
Producing is basically the business end. Directing is the creative side of it all.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. Let me play just a little clip. It's mostly music, but... Right? Because there's not a lot of talking in the trailer. But I want to play just a little clip just so you get an idea.
Well, can
of
I
what
see
this
it? Turn it around.
Like. You can't see it.
Blind
you're
test.
To see it
yeah.
Amazing, Danny.
What do you think?
You're gonna have to see it.
Blind
later.
Test.
Honest
tell me what you think.
You know what? I'm not doing it. The hell with it.
What did you guys think of Insidious?
I loved it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You
so,
didn't like it?
No. That's like one of my faves because I feel like it was the first movie in a very long time that gave me nightmares.
Can I give you? Yeah. Can I tell you something? This movie, The Riddle House.
Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh man.
This movie, The Riddle House. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the director did post production on that.
Oh really?
So
oh,
yeah, guess well, what? Okay. This Riddle House is gonna freak the fuck out of you, Dan.
See, I like that because it wasn't really gory, but it would scare the shit out of you.
Mentally.
Yeah, I screamed like in the second one. I thought it was gonna be because you know. With those type of movies, you're like, I hope it's not a disappointment on the second one.
Right.
With so the first one, me and my sister went to the movie theater, and I looked at her and I said, within the first 10 minutes, I go, I really want to leave. And she goes, we just paid $22 for these tickets. Now it's like $40 for tickets.
Yeah, sit down.
Yeah. She goes, sit your ass down. And we left, and we both went back to our room, and for 2 weeks, I slept in her room.
Really?
Yeah.
You're funny.
The second one was scary, and I just rewatched the third like a month and a half ago. Because the third one, I was like, eh.
Yeah.
And then I just rewatched it. I was like, actually, the third one is a lot scarier than I thought. I might have just been like drunk or something when I saw it in the theater.
That's the problem with a lot of horror films. Like, you'll watch them and you'll just like taper off. Like, it's like, oh, the first one was so good and this one's
Paranormal
okay,
Activity, shit the bed.
Yeah, you are. Shit the bed is for sure.
Or, like,
first one I thought was real. I went home and I Googled it. I was like, what are these people doing now?
Yeah.
Now it's like, it's what like, happened? Then it turned into like some cult shit.
Yeah.
I was like, come on.
It went you in the wrong direction. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you saw that one, I think, right?
Yeah.
It went in the wrong direction.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
When coffins
too many hands
going,
in the pot.
So I'm telling you.
That's what happened, I think. Yeah.
And sometimes, sometimes they go too crazy with all the sequels and everything. You know what I mean?
I think they got up to like five or six.
Many. Yeah.
Yeah, that was way too many. But they were making millions of dollars. So they're like, let's make this go for as long as we can.
Oh, they're milking it. I mean, that's a producer's thing.
I think that was Saw. I love the first Saw film and then like once you watch all of them you're just like, so what happened there, like what
there was a new one that came out like what 2 years ago or something it was really too gory for me
It seems like they made about three a year, you know,
they did
you know, I mean, number one was like here 3 years ago and suddenly you get 19 of them
let's give you a bunch of crappy ones because we gave you like two three good ones.
Well, Conjuring's coming out with a third one, but those haven't failed yet either.
That film's good.
Fave.
Yeah.
Fave. Yeah, it's so good. They have a new one coming out, and the trailer made me shit myself, so I'm hoping. It's like, I forget what it's called. It's something in Spanish.
Yeah, no, I saw that. I just saw that in Hollywood Reporter, so I'm looking forward to it as well.
Yeah. So hopefully they'll stop when they need to stop. Like, Insidious stopped when they needed to stop.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, leave it there.
Maybe they will at one point. At what point is Coffin going to stop?
This one.
Yeah. When we stop making money.
So
the exec producers actually asked Kip Tribble a few times, when's my character Trick gonna die?
Right.
And Kip has actually answered, when I tell you he's gonna
die.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, we're having such a fun time. My character Trick, look, I'm only 5'8". I'm a small guy.
Right.
How do I be fucking intimidating to Kevin Sorbo, who's 6'4"?
Right.
I had to find a mental thing with it. You'll see, man, when you watch the trailers, we're all in these crazy masks, and it's all within eye reaction and, you know, and the way you speak.
Right.
You know, you change your voice. Make it real direct.
Right.
That's my character.
Right.
It's not. I'm a regular idiot.
Right.
So,
Nobody
gives a shit about me. They go, get me coffee, asshole. I'm like, all right. But no, between Tracy's character and my character and our gang, because now Trick in Coffin 3 has like a gang of meth heads and runaways.
Right.
And my character doesn't trust anyone, as he shouldn't, because they're all meth heads and runaways. This the Coffin franchise has many twists and turns. It's very Alfred Hitchcock.
So this is your gang that you're talking about.
Yes, my gang.
So you're in a gang that you don't even trust.
No.
Sounds like a success plan.
Totally.
You know? Later.
It's like the Crips of the Blood, just not trusting each other. But this is how it works, because in these films, lots of twists, lots of turns, very Hitchcock. You'll have to see it.
Yeah.
I'm going to
have to watch the first and the second. Yeah. I'm sure I already have.
Yeah, and click onto the trailers. They're out
there.
That's a big plug for Coffin.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Okay, so you guys got two films, right?
Yes.
And what is it you're looking for now? Distribution? Or what is it that you guys are trying to get across?
Well, I want to be a power metal singer. That's my ambition.
It's true.
Much like make that happen. No, we're basically just trying to get this into all the fests that we can get it into. And then from there, we're going to do the national and then hopefully international distribution. And the national, we want to do theatrical release.
Yeah.
Of course. So we're looking at different places, like especially for the screening. And then after that, all the theaters. And we're looking at billboards right now and stuff.
We are.
So,
so you're thinking big. I mean, what the hell? Go all the way.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking with a couple distribution companies right now that are actually extremely, extremely interested in both projects.
Right.
And I mean, these aren't like small-time distribution companies. These are actual...
Right.
I can't say names.
But I mean, I feel like it should just automatically go on Netflix because the other two are there, and then people are going to be like,
Oh, yeah.
And Netflix is a big deal. Once a new movie posts, everybody watches it.
But yeah, but like The Riddle House in particular, we're definitely going to get theatrical release.
Yeah.
The company that we've been talking
to. Okay, so for my question is, you have these two movies coming out. Are they coming out not at the same time, obviously?
Well, that's
maybe
that's something
will.
We've been talking about. Yeah, it's like which baby do you want born first?
That's right.
If they both come at the same time, there's not much we can do. But hopefully, we can. You know,
because you have no control over that, right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
And everyone says, "Oh, horror film. Let's put it out on Halloween." Well, we don't have to put it out on Halloween.
No, exactly.
But it is cool.
It is.
But you don't want to put up
all of them. On Halloween
against a bunch of others.
You put it up, but you wanted to come out around Valentine's Day. You see what I mean? Yeah, where everything's completely fucking crazy.
Oh no, because people like to go on dates, and who wouldn't want to go see a scary movie on a date?
That's right here. Let me put my arm around. Yeah, everything's fine now. But yeah, like, you know, you don't want to compete against. I mean, that's another thing too. When we've been talking to these distribution companies, you don't want to compete against Star Wars.
Right.
You can't put it out at a certain time. So these are the things. I mean that. People really don't see as producers.
Like right now wouldn't have been a good time because Avengers is going to be in the theater for like 5 months.
You're screwed. So. You're absolutely screwed. You're absolutely screwed. So, you know, those are the little things that are big things for us as producers that we have to look out for.
But my thing is you don't also want, if you have both those movies going to theaters, people are going to be like, well, I'm not going to go see Coffin if I just saw these same actors in Riddle House.
Well, yes, to a degree, but that's the power film duo that we're trying to put
us.
Together. If you love us, you're going to watch us.
You want it.
Yeah, you're going to watch us.
True.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to see Tracy slap Johnny. I'm watching.
Do it again. Do it again.
Yeah, we get to watch it over and over, right?
Another take.
I'm like, yes, it is. It's over with. Stop it. You got too many rings on. Give me a break.
That's very cool. So you guys obviously get along for... So you've
not
known each
all.
Other for 11 years now?
We're going on a decade now.
Wow. So you met on a movie set, right?
We didn't. We met just randomly in real life. Like
at a Hollywood party.
He came over to this apartment that I lived at. And he was hanging out with somebody that I was seeing. Mm-hmm. Terrible relationship.
Yeah.
So the good thing was we made friends, and everyone that had been coming over were musicians. So he comes over, I'm an actor, and I go, oh, I'm an actor.
It didn't really go down like that, but that's kind of
I told him to get the fuck
she
out.
She did. That's like, what she did.
I was told.
I was like, who's this hot blonde on the sofa?
I was like, fuck you.
Oh, that's my girlfriend. She's an idiot actor. And I go, well, I'm an actor. Fuck
what an ass.
Yeah, no.
He's a jerk. So he called me a bitch, I think.
Yeah, so I went over to him. I went over. I was like, hey. And she wouldn't even look at me.
No,
she just thought I was an idiot musician.
Yeah,
and
I said,
you know what? I just wanted to let you know I'm an actor too. Fuck you. And I walked away. She's like, you're an actor. We talked till 7 a.m. And our friendship went great.
Cool.
Yeah.
And that guy was out the door.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what a douche. And what's he doing now? Probably like sitting on his couch.
I don't even think he has teeth.
Oh, my God.
I think somebody punched him out.
Yeah. What a loser.
Yeah. And then we went to the Coffin premiere. And that's how she became part of the Coffin Family franchise. Yeah, man. And everything happens for a reason, Sam.
It's really true. Everything does line up.
Yeah,
thank you.
I gave the director and his wife an edible that his brother gave me.
Knocked them out.
They were in the car, sitting in the car for hours. They couldn't move. They thought they were melting.
Oh, good.
Seriously, it's the truth.
I was like, I'm glad I didn't eat it.
And I was like, Tracy,
was this before the premiere or after?
After.
They might not talk to you again.
They were in the sweet red zone. They had to move it by 7. He was like, dude, I could barely fucking move that car.
If his daughter. Peyton, honey, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry, honey.
That's
fine.
Cool.
I don't take edibles.
Not
my thing.
Not your thing, girl.
And they're like the super good ones, the brownie, chocolate chunks.
That's the one that.
Butter,
God, it gives me chills just thinking about it. The brownie.
Yeah,
but I didn't know it was an edible, so I ate half the tray.
No, they ate the whole thing. Yeah, exactly.
And you're done.
Yeah, exactly.
You're done.
And after I smoked bongs.
Oh, really?
Oh, you were done.
So you were done till like July.
Yeah. It was bad. I called my whole family. I was like, I'm dying.
I'm dying. They're like,
who is this? But it's a real thing.
Wrong number.
I
never got to that point. I wish I would.
I don't know how you haven't.
Because I've been doing weed for years.
Yeah, but the first time you've ever had an edible, you weren't like, You weren't like, oh my God, I can't handle this?
No, I just felt, wow, you know, this is pretty strong. But I didn't feel I was dying or anything, call the police, 911
or something. There's cops that have taken edibles that call the cops on themselves.
I know, sure. That's why I mentioned that. It's so funny.
Don't worry, Sammy, hang out with us long enough. We'll take it to that level. Yeah. Don't worry. We got you.
You will, right?
Oh, you should have brought him an edible today.
Are you kidding me? I'm on edible now. What are you kidding me? Shit. I have a couple a day. It would knock out a fucking elephant.
I love it.
Well, now we're lucky because they're actually regular. Like, you can tell how much THC is in the edibles. Right. In the old days, like, I remember I'd go get a brownie. I'd eat the whole thing. I'm like, it's going to work or it's not. And right. It's like, yeah. You just ate 5 brownies.
Like 1,000 milligrams or something. Yeah. Instead of 50.
Yeah, no way.
Your heart's palpitating.
You just melt. Like, you just melt. I remember I was having a conversation with somebody and I noticed I was sliding down the wall. And I was like, oh my God, I'm like squatting on the floor.
But this is like dosage. You have to know how much to take. Yeah. Just like medication, you know?
Doesn't it not hit you right away, too? So you got to give it like an hour.
An hour and a half. Yeah.
Because marijuana is fat soluble, and then I believe alcohol is water soluble. So it takes a little bit.
It tastes so good. You're eating this chocolate, and all of a sudden you're like, Jesus Christ, are you kidding me? Right. I'm dying here.
I don't get an hour
and a half later, you know? Yeah.
My roommate took an edible like last night, and then he came back out and he was a completely different person. I was like, honestly, go to bed.
I was like Mercury going down a flight of steps. I was like, this is crap. Are you kidding? I can't handle it. Gotta be careful with it.
Yeah, we're fine.
I like regular pre-rolled blunts. That's what I do.
I don't know, based on what you guys say, I don't know how I'm even awake right now. Yeah, because
you're used to it.
Yeah, probably, but no, I have an edible in the morning and one in the evening, and in between I smoke myself to death, so there you go.
You're in LA, it's Cali. Yeah.
Push Army.
Well, I started this way before it was fashionable.
Now everyone's doing it.
I was living in Las Vegas in the 70s. And that's when I was introduced to weed. I was like in my teens, my late teens, 18, 19. Uh-huh. And never looked back since.
Hey, it's natural.
Hey, man, you're not a quitter.
Exactly. I wish I would quit, though, man. It's shitty. Man. You know, I mean, anything you put in your body, like that smoke and stuff, is not good, you know? Sure. But what the fuck, I do it anyway. You know
what, man? Before I forget, because my memory is always shit.
Yeah.
I have to thank TJ, our PR.
Of course.
Yes, TJ.
We're going to give plugs to a few people. Okay, TJ, go ahead.
Yeah, and then also Darren Griffith from Paragon, rocker gear, the stuff that we all wear.
Mm-hmm.
Best stuff ever. Seriously, man, if you want to get them, if you want to have that vibe. He's got a very cool underground Hollywood vibe.
What's it called again?
Paragon.
Paragon.
Yeah, and we just did a test shoot in North Hollywood, and we're going to be hopefully on billboards for this new line of clothing this summer.
Awesome.
And I have got like this cool vibe thing that kind of works, and it's very it's very marketable. It's very, very marketable. So TV Guide version. That's why we're putting ourselves out as this like new Bogart and Bacall.
Right.
Kind of like duo, screen duo.
Right.
It works.
A little more edge.
Yeah.
Not gonna be like, oh, hello,
Bogart. Do you care to dance, my dear?
I do.
End of scene. Exactly.
Well, hopefully you guys will be the next big Hollywood couple. Who knows?
Man, screen, they're like, what was it? Gibson and Glover.
Was that for Scream?
Like a duo.
That was for Mel Gibson.
Lethal Weapon.
It's cool being look, in acting, I don't mean to take up more space, but in acting, you have to be a lone wolf.
Yeah.
You have to have your brand. You have to have your image, your style, your poise, your cadence, all that shit.
Right.
But if you can find someone that gels with you, the same fucking baggage that you have and make it work, it's an explosion. I'm serious.
Right.
And it's very hard to find.
And we noticed it early on because like people would tell us, oh, we can't wait to see if you guys are in a film. We'd love to see that. Yeah. If you guys are in something together, that'd be so cool. And everyone kept saying that to us. So we're like, why don't we? Don't we do that?
Yeah.
It's a marketable thing.
Right.
It's hard to find someone that you can actually look good next to.
The first film you guys were in together was Coffin?
No, the first trailer, we actually just shot The Riddle House.
Right.
That's the first thing we've ever done together.
Before that, it's always been separate.
Just kind of a hope that we'd work together. Trying to make it happen.
Working on TV shows, working on films with great directors and actors.
So, we did Gotham, I did Hologram for the King of Tom Hanks. We did our separate credits, and then we're kind of like,
each other's fans.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's good. That's cool.
Yeah.
You see, and the story is, this is how you pick up a beautiful woman.
Exactly.
You just sit and you spend a whole night with her talking.
Right. While her douchebag boyfriend is drinking another beer saying, look at my idiot girlfriend. Yeah.
That guy.
Exactly. Hey, you know, get in through the back door. You know, you don't have to say.
Faizan, don't give away my secrets. Spilling your beer. Look at this. It's 10 in the morning, spilling his beer.
It's a Diet Coke.
It's a Diet Coke. I'm going to go get a thing. You guys keep talking for a couple
of
minutes.
Would you like my scarf? No.
No, he's got it.
It's not worth anything. He gave it to me.
He got paper
towels. It's not worth anything. I gave it to her. No, but like we said, man, you know, you have to have your chops as an actor to succeed. You really, you know, it's nice having a brand. She has a brand.
Right.
I have a brand.
Right.
Putting it together, we're like formidable rivals. At the same time, it's like the kinetic energy is super strong.
Right.
And we're also musicians, so we relate on that level.
Now I think it's a lot of actors that have been acting for a while that are trying to get into the music side of things.
Or vice versa. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's going both ways. Yeah. Like, I think of Johnny Depp sometimes a lot, or like Jared Leto.
I mean, Jared Leto, was he a singer first? Wasn't he in a group before he acted?
I think he was always doing the music thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But I think it's like other people that are, I feel like a lot of people are trying to do the musical thing now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, I feel like, different than being a musician. But yeah, it's hard for sure. Yeah. But
they
it's
get
different.
Effed over too, I think, in the music industry. Probably worse because we have a union,
right?
You know, with SAG and AFTRA that are so dedicated and like on top of
it. Right. Mm-hmm.
Whereas like with musicians, like I'll see them get like dicked over sometimes, like big musicians.
Well,
like,
not only that, a lot of people aren't like downloading music anymore. Like if you have Apple Music, we only pay that $10.
Yeah.
And then we get unlimited amounts.
10,000 songs. You're not buying shit.
No, nothing.
It's nothing. Good. Everything is like you lease or you just pay for what you use, know?
That's it.
And that's the economy today. I mean, even software I use now, like Photoshop or things like that, it's like a subscription, you know?
Exactly.
So you don't have to go and spend like $1,000 or something. You just pay $10.
Yeah. Yep. But then think about it. Stuff like Celtics or what is it, First Draft, where you're trying to write a movie script, it's like $900 to get.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, come on, man.
I know. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
There's certain things where it's like you need to just like make it a little accessible for people, even if you're not a super pro. It's like somebody someday wants to get into it that's not in school. Or
like a beginner's.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I was like, come on.
I know.
$900 for a thing?
I don't need all the bells and whistles, man.
Yeah.
Just let me have some of it, man. Yeah. Fuck you.
Well, it's basically anything that looks better than a piece of notebook paper.
Right.
That's going to get you through.
Yeah.
Some kind of industry standard. That's all we're asking. Yeah. That's all I'm asking for.
That's crazy.
Whoa. Well, we are talking to Johnny Alonso and Tracy Faraway. We only have a couple more
minutes,
guys.
Everyone binge watch their old movies. Hellraiser.
That's right. That's
Coffin
right.
One, Coffin Two.
My girl. Yes.
She'll do sleepover.
And obviously The Riddle House.
Yes.
You guys are trying to... to get whatever it is he's trying to do.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wait,
I guess Sam hasn't been listening to me. That's okay. We'll just come back another show. That's fine.
You got to come back when it's actually in the theaters. So you can tell people, hey, listen, we were here a couple months ago.
And I do like I like to mention that Eric Geisler, he's the director for The Riddle House. He also has the story. Uh-huh. Edward Abramson is the story writer, I believe.
Yes.
What are you doing with your phone?
I'm living you.
I'm living it.
Oh, God.
So all that. And then Coffin is Kip Tribble, the director, as well as the writer for this project.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Awesome.
Is that like his real name or he changed
it? Can you believe
his
it?
Real name.
That's his real name.
That's funny.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
It's like a cool last name, and then his parents were like, let's give him something really hot.
Kip, you know?
He's going to make it.
Yeah.
That's a name that someone's going
to
make it.
Be
I love that name. I love Kip Tribble.
Mm-hmm.
It just rolls off the tongue really nice.
Yeah.
Tribble.
And how did you guys connect with him real quick?
And, Coffin. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was on the East Coast. I was in Baltimore. And I did a film for Dr. Johnson called Safe House.
Wait, the one with Denzel Washington?
I wish. No, like I said.
That movie did not suck.
Like I said. So I did the movie kind of as a favor because somebody dicked out. And by chance, you know, I was in the movie and they said, can you fill that guy's role? Which happens a lot,
by the way. Well, so, do they pay you at least?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was like, if I'm going to do this film, you've got to take care of me.
Yeah.
So I took care of them. And in a weird way, they felt like they owed me something. So I said, they threw this script in front of me called Coffin. And I was like, okay, let me read it, and you know, if I dig it, I'll fly out to Burbank and have a meeting with Kip.
Right.
Of course, I loved it.
Right,
I haven't shot a movie out here in Los Angeles yet,
So I met up with Kip in his studio office in Burbank. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And I walked in. I didn't know what Kip looked like. So right. I'm just looking around. I'm looking around. He goes, Johnny Alonzo. He was like watching my actions. Right. He goes, you're kind of like this Johnny Resnick, Goo Goo Dolls, perv weirdo walking around looking for somebody. He goes, you're perfect for the role. You don't even have to audition. So I read I said, I'll play Trick. And I said, the problem with Trick, though, I said, you want Kevin Sorbo in this film, and he's super tall. And like I said earlier,
right.
I said earlier, I don't know how I'm going to be menacing. And right. Kip's like, I know you can do something. And like I said, you know, being an actor and how we've trained for many years, mm-hmm. you know, she's gone through years and years and years of training, and myself included. I found a way. And my way was just to really change the way I stand, the way I talk, the way I look. Right. And just the whole menacing thing.
What other movies have you been in?
I was in Rules of Engagement with Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay, yeah.
Jeez, I don't know.
Did you ever play a vampire in a movie? Okay, what's the name of the movie?
Well, Jesus Christ, what was that called? It's on my IMDb.
I don't know that movie.
Yeah, but I just did a trailer called, I've got so many vampires. I'll give it all to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just shot that in Boston.
Oh, I'm from Boston.
Are you? Mm-hmm. No kidding. We shot near Cambridge.
Okay, yeah.
Deep in the dark. It was wintry cold.
Yeah.
Freezing.
Yeah, sucks.
You don't have an accent at all. You're so lucky.
Everyone thinks I'm from LA. I'm like, nope. Yeah. From Boston.
I love it. Oh, As They Sleep. That's what the pilot's called. And that's actually going to be coming out on Fox, I think, in the fall. But
that's awesome.
TV Guide version, man. With all this, I mean, you know, when it came to Coffin, that was the first film I ever shot here in Los Angeles. Mm. And that's what stuck me out.
All of them film in Los Angeles?
Yes. Well, the second one was in Rancho Cucamonga.
Yeah, but still Cali.
Still a Cali. Yeah. And this third one's going to be as well here in Los Angeles. So yeah. Awesome. We're stoked. We're
Coffin,
very stoked.
You guys have to watch out for it.
Awesome. Well, if you need a token black girl,
we'll just write you in anyway.
We'll write you in anyway, man.
We just need you, Danny.
I play a great mean girl.
Awesome.
This comes naturally.
Yeah, exactly. Like I told you, I'm more television. She's more film. Although she's done a ton of Lifetime. She's done a lot of stuff.
I love Lifetime.
Huge fan.
Have you played a psycho in a Lifetime movie?
I haven't. But
a psycho period.
I was in this film on Lifetime. It was originally called Zephyr Springs.
Right.
And Lifetime renamed it Deadly Spa.
Yeah.
Okay, I've probably seen it.
Yeah.
Ask him. All I do on Sundays is watch psycho films on Lifetime.
We clip out.
We got to wrap up. We're totally out of time.
All right, guys. We're out of time.
How can people find you guys online, connect with you?
So you can find me online, Tracy Faraway, T-R-A-C-E-Y, there's an E in there, and then Faraway with an extra A, and then you can look at my films on IMDb, you can look at my films on Amazon, Google.
Hellraiser, watch it tonight, I'm going to.
Please do. Johnny Alonzo, IMDb, also Instagram, Johnny.Alonzo, Netflix, Twitter.
you can find them on Netflix,
my name on Netflix, as well as Tracy.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we're on Netflix.
We're all over there. You know, also JohnnyAlonzo.com. That's my website.
Oh, check out my other horror film, Patchwork.
Yes. Patchwork. Is that on
Netflix?
What's that about? Is that about a clown?
No, it's about three girls that get, like, totally chopped up and then sewn back into one body.
Oh,
and they're
my
alive.
God, I'm not seeing that shit. Are you kidding?
Dude, you eat edibles. That's not going to scare you.
Yeah, you eat edibles. Like, you'll
it's
be
not
fine.
About Come scaring on. Me. It's just gross.
No, it's actually, it's one of my favorite films.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah. It's a dark comedy, so it's scary but funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And you got to watch my movie, Territory.
Maybe is that on Netflix?
That's on Netflix. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So that's another horror.
So you guys just got to email me all the names. I'll watch them all because I'm a very honest critic.
My girl.
Yes, she is. And she knows what she's talking about. Because she sees a lot of obscure
movies. We had somebody
too,
last week, and she was promoting her film, and I literally pretty much predicted it right off from the title.
Yeah.
And she was like, we got off air. She's like, I literally thought you were just going to give the whole movie away.
Sounds like one of my old movies. The title was This Sucks.
I saw that movie.
All right.
Well, Sam, it was a pleasure.
Johnny and Tracy, thank you so much for joining us. You guys are amazing.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Danny, thank you. We'll see everybody tomorrow.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.